This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
I can't believe I'm saying this. This episode is brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line by the one and only Jennifer Aniston. Why did Jennifer Aniston start a hair care company? Because she was tired of choosing between hair products that work and hair products that are actually good for us. But thanks to Lola V, we never have to choose again. No silicones, no sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, it's cruelty-free and vegan. The Glossing Detangler and Perfect Conditioner are my personal favorites. Not only do they repair the look of damaged hair, but they also shield it from future harm. The first step to unlocking confidence in your dating life and your daily life is feeling confident about your hair. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com. And as listeners of Seeing Other People, you're getting an exclusive 15% off of your entire order when you use code Seeing Other People at checkout. That's 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com with promo code Seeing Other People. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After your purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please, please, please support Seeing Other People and let them know that I sent you. You guys are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from the best of the best, Jenny Kane. And yes, there is a discount, so keep on listening. You know that feeling when you get a new sweater and it instantly becomes basically another layer of your skin? Like you wear it everywhere, for everything, all the time. Okay, well, Jenny Kane has become my literal uniform. And if you don't know Jenny Kane, I'm pretty much about to change your life because Jenny Kane's clothes did that to mine. Jenny Kane is a California brand with luxurious staples that will transform your closet. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. They have the coziest cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories that will elevate your everyday basics. I don't know if I wear my cashmere fisherman hoodie or my cropped cashmere cocoon cardigan more. All I know is that I cannot live without either of them. Whether it's a cozy night in with the girls, a dinner date with Jake, or catching a flight to Florida to see my parents, these sweaters are perfect for every single occasion, and I couldn't be happier when I'm wearing them because I'm so comfy. And you guys know me, I always choose comfort over how something looks, but with Jenny Kane, I don't have to choose because I get comfort and I get style. All right, so we have the discount code coming for you. Find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Seeing Other People listeners get 15% off their first order when you use code SOP at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jennykane.com, promo code SOP, S-O-P. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. Hey guys, it's Alana, and you're listening to Seeing Other People Unfiltered. It's Thursday, so that means real-life daters are coming on to share their real, sometimes shocking, and always unfiltered experiences. Think you're alone out there? Think you're the only one whose ex hooked up with your mom or whose last date ended up being a catfish? Think again.
I'm Emily. I am 31, and I am a New Yorker that now lives in LA for a year and a half, and I'm here to talk about anything and everything as it relates to dating when you're 31.
I'm so excited. I feel like we've been talking about doing this for like a year.
Yeah, we have. But also, I feel like we've known each other for 10 years.
20.
Amazing.
20. So, backstory, Emily and I met via our mutual best friend, Julia.
Yes.
Who Julia came on with her fiance, Luke. She's also my maid of honor. And Julia moved out to LA and met Emily.
Yeah.
And then when I visited Julia, she's like, you need to meet Emily. And ever since?
Now we're married.
Now we're, yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. But no, I know we talked about this last time we saw each other, but like, I feel like we just get each other. And we've like lived parallel lives without knowing each other.
It's wild. I remember saying this to you when we were sitting at dinner with Julia, and I was saying it's really crazy because we could have passed each other on the street 100 times and never even knew who each other were. But just being able to connect with someone so fast is like probably one of the most special things about getting older, mm-hmm. is you don't have to be friends with someone just because they're in your group or they were in your sorority or in your college, whatever it was. You actually get to build all these new relationships, and we connected so fast, and I was just having a moment. I was like, this is really special.
It's really cool when that happens because you don't think it will.
Correct.
And a lot of us, I think, like have our guard up when it comes to like meeting new people and making new friends because like, well, we already have friends, or, well, it's so hard to make new friends, but you just have to be open to it. And open to the possibility and to meeting new people. And you'll be so surprised at like how many wonderful people can come into your life.
Yeah. And I think that was for me a really big reason I was so nervous to move because I was so comfortable here. But the people I've met and just being in a position to meet new people has been a really special experience.
What brought you to move to LA, and when did you move?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I'm laughing because anyone that knows me knows that I was the girl that never even left Manhattan. I wouldn't go to Brooklyn. I wouldn't go to another borough. I would only go to New Jersey if I really had to. I loved New York. And when I graduated college, I felt like I was going to be here forever. I do think New York is a really, really special place. But after COVID, where I was in New York City the whole time, the city changed for me a little bit, but I also started feeling really stuck. And I didn't feel like I was pushing myself ever. And there's something really nice about being comfortable, but I was in this place in my life where nothing was really changing, or I was getting frustrated with dating, or I was getting frustrated with whatever it might be, my living situation in a studio. Mm-hmm. And I finally, and it took me 2 years to make the decision. And I finally was like, you gotta go. Part of it was because I was sitting next to a woman in the nail salon who said to me, she must've been in her late 60s. She said, you know, I grew up here my whole life. And my biggest regret was that I never lived somewhere else. And I was like, that's my cue. Gotta go.
Wow.
So I moved to LA. I really didn't know many people. Like,
why'd you pick LA?
I went out there during COVID thinking I was going to take a job out there, and I kind of was only going out there to try it. I really was never going to stay, and I absolutely loved it because I loved being outside and I loved the weather, and that's what I did. Yeah. And I just love it. And now I live 3 blocks from the beach.
That's crazy. Who would have thought the nail salon convo?
Yeah, inspirational. Everyone, yeah. Go to the nail salon for your life advice.
I went yesterday, and it was my first time going to a new place. I got my first Russian manicure, trying to grow out my nails and make them
congrats.
Stronger. Thank you. And immediately she was like, oh, you need to talk to this girl who's like did this thing 2 years ago that like you would relate to. And I'm just like, oh my God, they're like matchmaking us at the nail salon. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was really interesting to hear that. And I mean, of course, then she told me that she knows someone else who moved out to LA and never came back. And I was like, oh, my God, my parents might kill me. But someone did give me this advice when I moved. And they basically said, if you're going to make a change like that, don't go into it with the mindset that you're just going to do it for a year and try it out, because you're never going to really try to make a life there. Mm-hmm. And if you tell people that, they're not going to want to invest their time in you. So I really went out there with no plan. People ask me all the time now, when are you moving back? And I say, I don't know. Where life takes me, I'll let you know.
I think that's great advice, especially when it comes to something like moving to a new place. And I will say, like, I think one of my biggest regrets of my 20s is not ever doing that. But I think I was so afraid of the possibility of like, well, what if I don't come back? But if you don't come back, that's because you made the choice to stay, because you're happier there, because it's a better fit for you for now. And that's not to say it's forever, but it's until it doesn't work anymore. And I think going into anything with that mindset of, there's an expiration date, like even going into a relationship, it's a ticking time bomb. And you're always worried it would, if you went somewhere for a year, you'd so quickly transition from doing everything for the first time to, oh my God, I have to do everything for the last time now. You wouldn't get to just exist.
Yes. Yes. And I think it's hard. It's really hard. I talk about it kind of lightly now, but this move was not easy. It's a huge mindset shift. It's sad to leave the people that you love. But I do think, like, as you get older, you become way more confident in the relationships you have with people, and you have to just trust that those relationships are not going to fall to the floor just because you moved across the country.
Yeah. And it takes effort to maintain them, but you do. What was it like going out there, not knowing many people and having to meet friends? Because a big thing, especially like in our late 20s, early 30s, and this is kind of what we started our conversation about, is making new friends. And it can be really scary and it can be really hard. And in a way, it is like dating.
Yeah. I mean, look, Barclay's coming to keep me company right now.
Good boy.
It was truly one of the scariest decisions I've ever made because of that fact and just being so far. I felt like not knowing anyone, I had to make sure that if I was going to move out there, I felt good about the decision and that I knew what I was getting myself into. So meaning, anytime I met someone new, if they said, hey, do you want to do this thing with me? Do you want to go for a walk or a hike, or you want to go to this concert? It didn't matter if I didn't feel like going, because I needed to go. Not just to make the other person happy, but for myself. I needed to try new things and listen to new music or put myself in a position to meet new people. And so, yeah, it was exhausting for the first year I was out there. I said yes to just about everything. I mean, the way I met Julia mm-hmm. was she asked me on a whim through a mutual friend if I wanted to go drive an hour and a half north with her. I never met her in my life.
Julia.
I never met her in my life. That's, and like, her friend ridiculous. Said, I'm going with my friend Julia. She said, you can come. And I was like, this is so strange. I would never have done this in New York. I would have never gotten in a car with a stranger for an hour and a half. But it was wonderful. And like now here I am today with like a new friend who's one of the closest people in my life. So you have to constantly do that. Now, not every person you meet you're going to love, but it really made me realize how much I really can push myself.
Yeah.
And it really allows you, like when you push yourself to do anything, whether it's meeting a new friend, saying yes to plans, or I don't know, like going outside on a day you don't feel like it, it allows you to stop and really think how proud of yourself you are.
Absolutely. And the cool thing is you don't have to just move to another place to do all of these things. If to anyone who feels stuck where they are, or who doesn't feel like they have friends that, you know, make them feel good and uplift them and are moving in the same direction that they are in their lives, like go meet new friends. Like you can, you just have to put yourself in the position to and yeah. have the mindset that you're open to it. You know, it's, we hold ourselves back so much. And I think that's the coolest thing about moving in your 20s is how much it challenges you and puts you out of your comfort zone, because you have to put yourself out there.
Yeah. And if, I mean, look, I could have moved out there and sat in my apartment all day and done nothing.
You could have.
But absolutely. I don't think, I will say I was thinking about this walking to your apartment today. But you really don't need to move across the country to make a change, to your point. And I don't want the message to be you've got to uplift your life or make this huge change in order to feel better, because sometimes I feel like we do that and think it is going to make things better and it doesn't, right?
Yeah.
It's like you, if you are saying you feel a certain way or you want a certain thing, you need to do the actions that get you there. Whether that's with dating or friends or anything in your life.
Exactly. It's not just going to be handed to you. A new friend or boyfriend or whatever isn't just going to knock on your door and show up.
That'd be nice, though.
It'd be cool.
Yeah.
In another life. Okay, so once you got to LA, we talked about meeting friends. We've talked about going out of your comfort zone. What changed with your dating life when you moved out there? What was that like dating in a completely new city? You guys know that I struggle with confidence. I'm always my biggest critic, and when I notice something about myself that I don't like, I can't stop fixating on it. I'm working on all of this, but it can be hard. A year ago, I noticed that my hair was thinning, and I was finding more and more strands of hair on the floor every time I would walk around my apartment. When I would look down in the shower, I would freak out at what I saw in the drain. That's when I opened up to my best friend, who happens to be a doctor, and she said two things that changed my life. The first was that she knows so many women our age going through the same thing. The second is that she told me to try Nutrafol. And so I did. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. A year later and a month before my wedding, and I cannot believe the number of people who have been complimenting how long, strong, and healthy my hair looks. I never imagined that this would happen. And naturally, as a result, my confidence has transformed. I'm no longer self-conscious when it comes to my hair. And honestly, that is a huge, huge, huge personal win for me. And you guys know I'm hilariously bad at sticking with habits and taking something every day or doing something every day. But with Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. You purchase online with no prescription required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure that you'll never miss a day. You'll see results in 3 to 6 months. And trust me, it is worth the wait. You can start so easily by taking their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering the Seeing Other People family $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Seeing Other People. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. Brave the uncomfortable. Those are the words engraved on my bracelet that have gotten me through some of the most anxiety-inducing moments over the last few years. And that's why I could not be more excited to encourage you all to get a Presently bracelet of your own with a phrase that resonates with you. Presently is a line of mindfulness bracelets engraved with words inspired by cognitive behavioral therapy. The brand was started by two sisters, Lindsay and Emily, who have obsessive compulsive disorder, aka OCD, and anxiety. They realized that when stuck in an anxiety spiral, it's hard to put into practice the tools that they learned in therapy sessions. They looked and looked for bracelets that could serve as reminders to interrupt that spiral, but they couldn't find anything besides the cheesy good vibes only and no bad days types of messaging. They started Presently to bring more authenticity to self-help anxiety management. And as someone who has had a Presently bracelet for 3 years, I mean it when I say it really makes a difference. So whether you need encouragement to make it onto that date that you've been anxious about, a calming mantra to get you through a big day at work, or simply a reminder that you're not alone, Presently has your back. Their bracelets are so beautiful and elevated, and they also make amazing gifts. And I know because I have gifted a few over the years, and my friends were so excited to get one and have worn them ever since. There are 6 phrases to choose from. And if you're indecisive, there's a quiz that you can take to help you choose the perfect reminder for your anxiety. Plus, 5% of each bracelet is donated to your choice of 4 mental health nonprofits. I wholeheartedly love and support Presently, and I know that your Presently bracelet will bring you as much comfort as mine has brought me. So head to presentlybracelets.com. That's PRESENTLY bracelets.com for 10% off your order using code SEEINGOTHERPEOPLE.
So a lot of people shared their thoughts and opinions, which I always appreciate, giving me heads up or warnings about the industry there. You know, here the industry is Finance Bro, and there it's entertainment. And they were saying these people are like this and that. And I really had to push that out because I know that I would have had all these preconceived ideas, which isn't fair to myself or to the other person. So I really, within a week and a half of moving there, I kind of like got myself set up, reset my apps, and decided that I was going to go on at least 2 dates a week, which is a lot. And it was exhausting. And I wasn't doing it because I thought this is the way I'm going to meet someone. I'll just say yes to 2 people a week. But I needed to get back in the rhythm of dating. When I was in New York, I was in a serious relationship like right out of college. And then I was pretty much single. I've been single since then. But a lot of that, if I'm being honest with myself, is because I wasn't really trying that hard. I was prioritizing work. I prioritized my friends, and I prioritized different experiences and being with the people that I cared about and loved and going out with them. And I wasn't really putting a lot of effort into dating. However, if anyone asked me, I would say I was, because I wanted to believe that I was. So when I moved out to LA, because I was going out of my comfort zone, I really promised myself that I was going to shift my mindset and just get in the rhythm of dating, feel more comfortable with just meeting new people, think about it as meeting a new friend. And so that's what I did. And it's been interesting. I mean, look, everyone will tell me, they're like, what's it like dating in New York? Like, I think it's better in New York than LA. This is the grass is always greener syndrome.
100%.
That is what that is. Because I would have told you that I had no luck in New York and everyone I met sucked and whatever. But and then in LA, I've had a lot better luck. Now, I don't really know if it's luck or if it's a mindset shift. I think it's the latter. But people in LA will say dating in LA sucks. I mean, it's always going to suck where you spend the most time. Let's just be honest, because you start seeing the same people. But I have found that people are very interesting there in terms of their different hobbies. Not that people in New York aren't interesting. They very much are. But a lot of folks in LA are transplants.
Yeah.
So, and because of that, that means they too had to pick up their life and do something different. So they're already comfortable pushing themselves a little bit, and even have probably found a new hobby or two. So I've been on a lot of dates that were a hike or like a walk on the beach that was really different and nice, and a little more casual than getting drinks or dinner. Getting drinks or dinner is wonderful, but I mean, how many dates did you go on where you thought you were going to maybe eat something and then you didn't?
Yeah.
And it's 10 p.m. and you're starving. Yep. And you didn't want to ask? I mean, going on a hike is I won't have those situations. But nonetheless, it's been really fun. I haven't met anyone through the dating apps that I've been super excited about. People have like set me up with some people. I've met people more organically. And sometimes it works out for a few dates and then it doesn't, but that's okay. At least I feel like I'm making some sort of progress or learning about myself.
Absolutely. I think that's such a good point what you made about people in LA being transplants, and everyone had that shared experience. Not everyone, but for the most part, a lot of people that you meet have all done this really hard and scary thing. And a lot of it is because they're passionate about something and had some dream they wanted to chase or felt complacent where they were before and wanted to try something different. And I think that that is an automatic connector. And I also love that the dates are a little different. Yeah. I think people get really sick of, in New York especially, just like going to the same first date bars or restaurants where you're getting a drink and maybe an appetizer, but you don't know if you're going to eat and you feel like you don't want to ask like, oh, are we going to order food? Especially let me know if you've had this thought where it's like it's a first date and you're kind of expecting that they're going to pay. So because they're going to pay, you don't want to ask to like order more and have them like pay for something more.
Yeah. Yes. And I've had that experience. I've also had experiences. I mean, the whole who's going to pay conversation. I mean, that is, we could be here all day talking about that. I have gone, for the most part, I've gone on dates where the guy has offered to pay. I always offer first.
Yeah.
And they usually say no. I have had two situations in LA where that was not the case. And I was really caught off guard. Only because in one situation, the guy I went out on a date with suggested we get a bottle of wine. And so I figured if he was suggesting that, he probably was willing to pay for it. And when the check came, I did what I always do. I said, do you want to split it? And he kind of paused for a minute and looked at me and he said, yeah, that'd be great. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So that was interesting.
Was it a good date?
It was a good date. So one thing I will say is I really haven't been on any very bad dates in LA. I have been on dates where I was not excited about it. And that's really the only reason why I haven't pursued that person. There have been a few people where I've gone on a couple of dates with them. But to be honest, it was only because I had friends or people in my life encouraging me to go on a second date. And I think that's wonderful. And people do that because they care about you and they like want you to find that person and give someone a shot. But for me, I've found that when I really feel it in my gut that it's not for me, I just have to go with that and move on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the dates have been fine. I'm just not feeling excited about anyone.
Can you please share the story?
Oh, the story.
The story.
The concert story.
The story.
Oh. All right. Everyone buckle up.
I'm so excited to hear this again.
All right. So, you know, now that I think about it, this was the same guy that wanted to split the bottle of wine with me.
Interesting. Okay.
So maybe I should have known, but we're actually not going to give him the benefit of the doubt there.
But noting, so you split the bottle of wine with him and then you did agree to go on another date.
I did, yes. Okay. Because I thought, like, we had a lot of similar interests. He was very nice and, like, I thought maybe I could have fun with him. People are sometimes nervous on a first date, and I did feel that he might have been. So yeah. I was like, all right. So I was going to a concert. I had an extra ticket. None of my friends were available to come with me. And so I thought, you know what? Let me just offer to take him. Like, this could be fun. So we go to the concert. I drove. I did not charge him for the ticket. And he did offer to pay for parking, which was nice. He suggested that we tailgate, which was a little bit weird for this concert, but I said, fine. And he picked up a pack of White Claw, six pack of White Claw, and a bag of pita chips and hummus. And this is a perfect situation where it was 6:30 and I had not eaten dinner. So I thought maybe he'd come a little heavy handed with the snacks. That was not the case. So we do the little tailgate thing. We go into the concert. We get in line to get a drink before it starts. Again, I did the thing where I pulled out my credit card and said, no worries, like, I can get this if you want, or we can split it. And he just said, okay. And so at a concert, I mean, we all know at a stadium, like, a drink is $20-$25. So I spent, not only did I give this guy a free concert ticket, I then paid $50 for our drinks. Okay. So the concert's over. It was fine. Like, I didn't have the best time with him, but I loved the concert, so whatever. I drove him home. And when I parked the car to let him out, he did that thing for a minute where he sat there and was like, should I kiss her? Like, not sure. And I wasn't going to go for it at that point. He gets out of, as he's getting out of the car, he said, can you just pop the trunk to grab the leftover pita chips and the two White Claw that were left? And so, look, like, I never spoke to him again. And that's how that went. It's a funny story. And, like, I laugh at it now, but at the time I was like, did I really just take you to a free concert, paid $50 for your drinks, drove there and back, and then you took what was like a third of a bag of pita chips and half eaten hummus home and two White Claw?
Like, it's not even about, like, you wanting the leftover pita chips and the hummus. It's like, it's just the him having to take it after all that.
I mean, I, like, need a glass of alcohol after that story every time I tell it. It is wild. But, like, let that be the weirdest dating experience I have, because it's just funny. But, yeah, like, I obviously did not want the leftover White Claw or hummus, but I just felt like if you're taking
– it was like that was his concern.
Three chips, yeah. But I hope he enjoyed them.
Raise your hand if you have dating anxiety. All right. I know that everyone has their hands up. And I get it. I had debilitating anxiety when I was single. And even when I first started dating Jake, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I know that is not a good way to feel, and that is not a fun way to date. And I get it. It can be hard to find an anxiety relief tactic that works for you. That's why I'm so excited to introduce you to a new one that has helped me dramatically with my wedding and work stress and anxiety over the last few months. And trust me, there's been a lot of it. Sunset Lake CBD is an amazing company that not only has helped me feel so much better, but they also have a really cool history and mission. Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. As farmers, they believe in providing only top-shelf CBD and hemp products at fair prices. So they cut out the middlemen and they ship their CBD straight from their farm to your door, which means that their CBD is affordable and trusted, because CBD and anxiety relief can help everyone, and they want it to be accessible to anyone. Trust me when I say that when I'm stressed or anxious, my sleep is the first thing to go. But despite everything I have going on right now, I've been taking a sleep gummy before bed, and my sleep scores on my Oura Ring have been through the roof. Plus, I'm finding myself relaxing more at night and being able to turn off my work brain and my anxiety with the help of their CBD gummy bears and reishi infused chews. Whether you want to sleep better, relax better, focus better, recover better, or anything in between, Sunset Lake CBD has something for everyone. So check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use code SOP for 20% off your order. That's code SOP for 20% off. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. When I first started seeing other people, some of my closest friends and family could not believe it. Not because they didn't think I was capable of being a podcast host, but because I usually can't get through a sentence without sniffling. And during allergy season, forget about it. My seasonal allergies are debilitating, and my sinus congestion and pressure has always left me feeling so sick. But luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Claritin D has truly transformed my life. Not only can I breathe better and sleep better since taking Claritin D, but I also can get through the day so much smoother. I used to have to cancel plans because of how bad my allergies were. I'd go through a tissue box a week, sometimes more, and my eyes were always watery. But Claritin D's fast symptom relief starts working on allergies with nasal congestion in as little as 30 minutes, and it tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or a cold, and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies. It's truly the greatest thing I've ever come across, and I am so grateful that I found it and started using it. Are you ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Yeah, it's so tough because it's like if you had liked him also, all this aside, you could have continued to see him, but like you didn't like him and there was all of these things.
Can we curse on this podcast?
Absolutely.
If I liked him, I would have just given him endless shit for that behavior. Are you kidding? I mean, I would have just called him out right then and there, like, enjoy the chips. But at that point, I was just not into it.
Yeah.
And I just let it go.
Yeah. The who should pay is always tough. But that's a situation where it's like, what are you thinking?
What
are you thinking? Have you had any, like, deeper connections?
Yeah, I have. And
sparkly fluff on you.
Oh, thanks.
Not you.
So I have. And what's interesting is here's what I'll say, because it was like a little more fresh. So it's kind of top of mind, or timely, I should say. Mm. But it was really nice to have a connection with someone. Even if the other person maybe wasn't as into it as I was, it was nice to at least feel like I could open up to someone and I could get there. And that I could find someone to have fun with. Like, that's the biggest thing for me. I just want to have good banter and have fun and laugh and find just a kind-hearted person. And that's just been a little challenging for me. And so it was nice to be like, oh, that does exist still. Yeah. I will say it was also a nice reminder for me that when somebody shows you who they are, you need to believe them. I think we can get in this mindset of I can convince them otherwise, or like I can make up excuses. And if you're feeling that way, like you should never have to convince somebody to date you. And I feel very strongly about that. So it kind of like came to it. I mean, it wasn't really anything, I guess, but it kind of just, I decided, I guess it was like a mutual decision, honestly, that it wasn't going to be the right thing.
Yeah.
And we're friends and it's great. But I just felt at the end of it that like once we made that decision, I was like, you know what? At least I can say I tried. And that is like the biggest thing for me in life right now about anything. Mm-hmm. At least I can say I tried. I'm never going to have to wonder. I was super honest and open with somebody. I let them in. I totally showed them who I am. And I don't think when someone's not interested in you or interested in dating you, it's not a reflection of who you are.
No.
It truly isn't. And it's nothing to say poorly about the other person too, but like maybe you're just in a different part of life and you're just looking for different things. And that's why I think we're able to remain friends, because it's nothing about the other person. It's just that it wasn't going to work romantically, and that's totally okay.
It's so hard to do this, but it's so important to zoom out and realize like it's not supposed to work with everybody.
Yeah, it's not. And you have to be honest with yourself about that. I think we can all agree that like sometimes being honest with yourself is the hardest thing to do. And even in your gut, like you know what the right thing to do is. Mm-hmm. And your friend is sitting there like clenching their fist being like, I'm not going to tell you this because I know you don't want to hear the I told you so, but you really should not do this with this person. I just think as you get older, like it's easier to be honest with yourself. And like, I knew, I didn't want to know, but I knew. Yeah. So it's just like, it's not supposed to be everyone, right? Like, that's why the word dating probably exists, because you're supposed to...
Dating is a verb.
Dating multiple... You do it. You do it, like, multiple times, multiple people. And, of course, there are those couples, and it's really nice, and they found each other in high school or college or whatever that is, and they really didn't have to go through, like, the struggles of dating in modern-day age. But it's fine. It really is. Like, I think – I do believe it'll work out. I think you cannot – lose hope. When you become hopeless, I think that is really dangerous. You have to just continue to be positive and just look at these things as experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. And that brings me to what I really am excited to talk to you about. Also, I'm like so impressed. You're like such a good speaker. You're crushing it. I'm like, wow, like Emily should have a podcast. What's happening?
Yeah, I've had a lot of time at 31 to think about these things, you know?
So speaking of not losing hope, you're 31. Mm-hmm. Which, for the record, you are very young.
Thank you.
You are.
You're young, too.
Thank you.
We're all young.
We all are. How have you held on to hope as you've seen friends and family members meet their people, get engaged, get married, get into these relationships, and take that next step that you do want, but you haven't found?
Yeah. So I feel like we've all heard this quote, like, comparison is the thief of joy. I really do believe that, but I was talking to a friend of mine a couple months ago, and we were talking about how envy is the thief of joy, not just the thief of joy for yourself, but the ability to actually be joyful for those around you, because that can be just as important. And I really believe that. So I have two younger sisters. Both of them are in relationships. The one that is 2.5 years younger than me is engaged and getting married in November. And I am so excited for her. Something is so special about the people in your life really being just so, like, you can't even articulate when someone you care and love so much is so happy with another person. It just, it feels like a warm spot in your heart. I don't know. That's like a little mushy for me, but you know what I mean. And I always liked the guy that my sister's engaged to. I think very highly of him. They're a great couple. But there is something to say about the adjustment of being the oldest sibling and always being the first to complete milestones, because that's just how life works when you're the oldest. And then there's this shift where, similarly with friends, when you graduate college and you are all on different paths, mm-hmm. as new life milestones approach, like, you are no longer necessarily going to be the first to do that thing. So I started to realize a couple years ago that it was very likely that my younger sister would be married before me. And that didn't just mean that she'd be married before me. It could also mean that she would have kids before me. And it's really important to me to have a family and to be a mom. I've probably had baby fever since I was 20. It was hard at first. I never felt jealous or envious or unhappy for her, but I did feel sometimes a little bit sad that I wasn't able to have this experience and share it with her at the same time, because it's something that I have wanted so badly for myself. And I can't necessarily, like, connect with her on it right now. Mm-hmm. But she's been so supportive and wonderful, and, like, never does anything to make me feel like, because I'm the oldest and I'm single, like, something's wrong with me. We're very close. But it's definitely a different experience.
Yeah.
It is. And I feel it now. Most of my friends are dating, engaged, or married. You know, as we start to go to weddings and I don't have someone to share a room with anymore, you know, life gets a little expensive when you're the single friend. So if anyone wants to buy me a drink, that would be great. But
put your Venmo in the show notes.
Yeah. But it's so nice that at least the people I do have in my life never make me feel like, because I'm single, I'm not invited or something's wrong with me or whatever it might be. They always let me make the decision if, you know, they're doing something that's couple-y. Mm-hmm. They'll let me make the decision whether or not I want to come. But look, it's definitely hard. Like I am not hopeless. I am still really proud of myself for everything I've done, but it is like, if we're all being honest, like there are certainly days where I'm like a little lonely or a little sad. And I just think that's normal. If I wasn't feeling lonely or sad, that would be a problem for me, I think.
Yeah. I think it's so important what you said about like having joy for the people in your life and their accomplishments. And I think that helps you also realize like when this will happen for me, everyone's gonna be happy for me too. And it's not a matter of like, will this happen? It's just when will it happen? And if you start becoming resentful of the people around you because they're achieving milestones before you, that's when you really start to lose hope.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you just said something like achieving a milestone. Nobody said you had to achieve this milestone at the same time or even get to it at all. Like a milestone for me, if a milestone for me is going to be having a kid, that doesn't necessarily mean that's a milestone for somebody else.
Absolutely.
And so the resentment, I think, could honestly bring, like, you'll bring yourself down and also the people around you. And I would just caution people to not be so resentful because a lot of times, like, we wear it on our sleeves. It's hard to hide that. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I'm happy to share this, but I froze my eggs recently, like at the end of December. Mm-hmm. And it was a really hard decision for me. It was hard because a lot of people realistically are married and talking about having kids right about now or in the next couple of years. And it's unrealistic for me to expect that like by 32, like I'm going to be married with a kid. Like that's just not how biology works. So I did not talk to a lot of people about it. It was a really sad topic for me. I've noticed recently on social media a lot of people talking about freezing their eggs who have like a large following. And I think it's great because they're being vocal about it. Yeah. I was really fortunate that my company had a benefit that subsidized a huge amount.
That's amazing.
I don't think I would have been able to do it without that. I mean, I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And that subsidy also allowed me to make the decision without feeling financially strapped and needing to talk to maybe my parents who would have tried to help me with it or offered to, because it was really it really was something I didn't want to share with people for a long time. So I needed to make the decision for myself. For me, I felt like the reason I say it was a little sad was because I would have thought I would have hit a milestone a little bit sooner. But as I said before, I also thought I was never going to leave New York. So here we are.
And you know what? But in so many ways, freezing your eggs is a milestone of its own.
Yes.
You're committing to yourself that you are going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And you're also probably freeing yourself of some pressure that you felt.
Definitely freeing myself from pressure. And that was the biggest thing for me. It was just another – sometimes I'm like sitting in my apartment in LA and it kind of feels like a pinch me moment where I can't even believe that I've moved out here, that I like see the ocean and the sunset and that I've done all these things. I mean, it's literally been less than 18 months. And I was able to make the decision to freeze my eggs, which was a wild experience. I just like can't believe that we put our bodies through these things. I'm so happy that we can and it has a positive outcome. But whoa. Yeah. I mean, I hope more people like start talking about it. I hope it also becomes just more like available for people. But it has taken the pressure off for sure. And maybe I'll never use them. Maybe I will. But nonetheless, at least I know that I'm setting myself up for success in the future.
Absolutely. And it's amazing that we're even able to do that. Like it's a new thing. Like it's a relatively new thing that's becoming more normalized. And it is so amazing that so many people are talking about it. And I appreciate you sharing it. I also think a huge reason why it's important for it to be talked about is because a lot of people have no idea what to expect when going into the process. And I remember you had a really difficult time with it.
Yeah. I kind of psyched myself out, to be honest, to start, because everyone's experience with this is so different. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, you are injecting hormones into your body, we're all chemically a little bit different up here, right? So it's going to affect you physically and mentally differently. And there's no way to predict how your body's really going to react to it, at least to my knowledge. I'm not an expert. But it was difficult at first for me to get there mentally. Like, I'm going to do this. You are going to have to give yourself shots. That is not an easy thing to do. I also was nervous about how it was going to affect me because I have seen or heard people say you could get really extreme mood swings. And I was like, wait, I can't do that. I was like, I don't want to put myself through that. But I went through it and I did it. And because I live alone, I made sure to surround myself and tell people in LA, friends I had, who I knew would show up for me and be supportive. And that was truly the biggest gift of all. Like, I'm not kidding. I think without people just being there and sitting with me as I gave myself a shot, I would have felt so alone doing this, and I felt so supported. And that was really special. During the process itself, I did not experience a lot of mood swings. I was actually okay. I think some of that's because I had support. After was what I did not expect, which was as my body was adjusting to back to normal hormone levels, it took a few weeks. And during that time, I had some serious mood swings, like really low lows. And I was shocked because I thought that that only happens during it, not after, but your body is just trying to get back to normal. And luckily it was temporary, yeah. But you know, I would definitely encourage anyone who's like thinking about it or who is going through it to just share or find others who have, so that you can get a wide range of experiences versus mm-hmm. just like looking at what you might see on social media.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really wonderful and special that you approach this in a way where you made the decision on your own, but once you made the decision, you surrounded yourself with people you love.
Yeah. It was, and I also had to, I mean, look, a lot of the people in LA for me are new relationships, right? Yeah. So I had to trust myself that I made the right friends, if that makes any sense. Yeah. Like, you know when those people show up for you.
Yeah.
And it was really a special experience for that reason too, because I was able to take a step back and be really proud of myself for making the decision to freeze my eggs, but also that I've just created another life for myself in LA with new friends that like were showing up for me in a time that was probably the most challenging I've had in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to ask a question about LA dating. Please. That always comes to mind when I hear about LA dating. So in New York, you know, we got subways, we got Ubers, we don't drive. We meet people at places. In LA, sometimes you like pick the other person up, or you drive, they drive, you drop them off, you drive together to the place, and then you decide, oh, let's go to another place. And then like you're both of your cars are there. You might have had drinks. Like, I feel like the aspect of driving in LA adds a very interesting and kind of challenging dynamic to dating.
Oh, I feel like I'm getting kidnapped.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not actually, but it's interesting because that was a huge adjustment. I have a couple experiences that were a little bit weird. For the most part, I will drive myself or I'll Uber depending on if I think I'm going to have a couple of drinks. But I had one experience where the guy was insistent on picking me up. And I was really okay to drive. Like, mm-hmm. it was very close by. And I asked him where we were going, and he wouldn't tell me where we were going. He was like, well, I grew up here. I know places. I'll just pick you up and we'll go. But, and I had to ask him 100 times. And I finally said, like, you got to tell me where we're going, or else I'm going to show up in like a formal gown. Like, I don't know where we're going. Like, I honestly, I just wanted to know if I could wear sneakers or heels. Like, I just wanted to know. So we ended up going to this Italian place and he picked me up, but it was kind of weird because you have to kind of, if they pick you up, it's kind of on their time when you leave.
Right.
So that was interesting. I mean, that was what I call a one date wonder. We were done with that. But I did recently go on another date where we were meeting at a bar. And when we got there, the bar was closed and we each drove separately. So then we had to like find another bar and then drive to the next place and park. And yeah, there wasn't a second date for that one either. But it's definitely different because
You can't just like go walk from one bar to the next.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No. You know, it depends. Like in some neighborhoods you definitely can. But yeah, I mean, I've really for the most part will drive myself or like pick somewhere walking distance. But it's an adjustment. It yeah. really is.
It's also it's with like a someone insisting on picking you up. It's like, is this chivalrous or is this creepy?
Yeah. And it's really nice. It's a nice offer. But then also like if the date is bad or weird, you're stuck in a car with them.
Right. And it almost feels rude, though you absolutely have the option, but just be like, oh, like I'm tired. I don't want to make you like go out of your way. Like I'm going to Uber back.
Yeah.
I think that's hard to do. That's like saying like on a date that like you don't want a second date. But I think a better like a good way to approach it is to be like, oh, like I have a missed call from someone at work. Like I really need to call them back and deal with this. Like I'm just going to take an Uber so that I can like take this call.
Yeah.
And like have a reason why you have to take the Uber.
I heard that advice a long time ago on a podcast of some sort. Someone said like you should always have something that if you're not sure about a date, always try to make sure you have something mm-hmm. to go to or something next, like an out, if you need to use it. And so I work East Coast hours because I work in finance. So I always will say like, oh, I can't stay out that late. Like I have an early meeting or something. And sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not. But like, you know, nonetheless, I'm getting up at 5:15 every day anyway. So people get it. And I use that as like an out if I need to go.
Do you think guys in LA find you unique because you don't work in entertainment?
I guess. I mean, I hope there are other reasons they would find me unique, but sure. I will say one of the biggest differences about LA and New York that I've noticed, granted, I'm not jaded by LA yet, okay? So just like keep that in mind. That's my disclosure. I find that when you meet people in New York, even when I'd go out at bars here, the first thing they would always say is, what do you do for work? And then I would be like, oh, I do this. And then I'd ask them what they do. And then they'd work in private equity or hedge fund or something or whatever. In LA, that is not the first thing people ask you. And I could know somebody for I could meet a friend three times before I even know what they do. Because people have other, like they don't define themselves by their career. Not to say it's not important to them, but it's just a different way of looking at life, I think, a little bit. I mean, every state has their thing, you know, and that's this one.
That's so interesting to hear you say, because that was the complete opposite of my experience in LA. I did a semester in LA and I almost moved there, and I like traveled out there for work stuff and other things a bunch of times. And one of the many reasons I did not want to live there was because I felt like, maybe it was because I worked in entertainment.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of people in entertainment. I should say that.
I felt like everyone did define themselves by their job. And anywhere I went, the first thing people would say is, what do? Who do you work for? And it would be like this dick sucking competition of like, well, what can I get from you? Or like, who can you introduce me to? Or like, well, I like name dropped this person and went to that event. And like, I didn't like that.
Yeah. I mean, I would hate that if that was the situation. Yeah.
It could have been because I was in my early 20s too.
Sure.
People were like obsessed with what they were doing.
Sure. And are really trying to grind and like
yeah.
meet that connection Network. Or whatever yeah. it might be. I also think it depends what neighborhood you're in LA
totally.
For sure.
And the people you're surrounding yourself
yes,
with.
Yes, 1,000%. And that's what I was going to say. And that's true anywhere you go. You know, we could compare like West Coast, East Coast, like whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, it's like whoever you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
But to your original question, I don't think that guys necessarily find it unique that I work in finance mm-hmm. out there. It's definitely it's definitely different. Like I've not met many other women, and that's fine. Like it's actually kind of nice to not be the industry in focus.
Yeah.
but yeah, so it's It's been interesting. It's good.
What would you tell your 25-year-old self right now?
I would tell my 25-year-old self to let go of any predetermined plan or idea that I had for how my life was going to go next week, next month, next year, or in 10 years. And it's one of those things where I know that manifesting can be an important skill to have and possess. But I really don't like when people ask me where I want to be in 5 years.
Same.
Or 10 years, because I don't know. And that's fine. You don't have to know. I don't need to know when I'm going to move or if I'm going to move back to New York. I don't need to know like when I'm going to get married and have kids. It's fine. So I think I would just try to tell myself to cool it, because I do like to think that most things happen for a reason. And the things that I go through that might be more challenging will hopefully just help me in the future. I saw this quote once that I think about a lot, and it was this like older man, like in his 90s, and he said to always appreciate the little things, because you never know when you look back in life, they'll feel like big things.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's kind of what I would have just told myself. I would have just been like, calm down. These are little things that are happening that will get you to that big thing one day. But you could just maybe chill out a little bit. Would be so helpful for you.
Yeah, we get so caught up in what the future is going to look like that we miss some of the most incredible moments that are happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me also just being, you know, New York is a very fast-paced environment to live in, which is great. For me, where I am in my life right now, I think I needed to slow down a little bit. And I think moving to California did help with that. Yeah, so that was also part of it.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, this has been, like, I knew this was going to be amazing, but it's been even better.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. I have one last question, though. My favorite question to ask. What is the best piece of dating or relationship advice you've ever received?
Oh.
Dun, okay. Dun, dun.
I actually don't think it was advice that was given to me verbally, but something that I've watched my parents my whole life. My parents are, I'm very lucky my parents are together. They have a very wonderful marriage. No matter where they go, they could be at a wedding and the band is playing and no one else is on the dance floor. They could be walking down the street. They always have fun together and they are always supporting each other. And watching that is like, find somebody that you can have fun doing anything with and that is always going to support you through it all. And I think that has been like the best observation that I have received when it comes to dating.
That's really special to grow up and go your whole life witnessing that.
Yeah.
And that just sets it up for what you want.
Yeah.
And the type of relationship that you're after. And knowing that that's what you want and having that be your bottom line of like, that's what you're not willing to compromise on, that's going to result in you being in the right relationship.
Yeah. And I guess actually one piece of advice I got recently from someone who has dated a lot and is in their late 30s, she said, do not spend time making excuses for people's behavior.
Yeah, say it louder.
Or the thing, do not make excuses for people's behavior. it's when she said that, it was like a light bulb went off in my head and I was like, whoa. I am making excuses for people's behavior. And then I sit there and I think, like, what could I have done differently? And I'm like,
not making excuses for their behavior.
Sir, maybe it was you.
And exactly what you said before, like when someone shows you who they are.
Believe them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is, I think that's like living rent free in my head right now.
As it should, forever. It's allowed to. It's allowed to. Oh, this has been incredible. Thank you so
Thanks
much
for
coming
me. Oh, I can't believe I'm here with you.
I know. Barkley. Oh, bye, Barkley.
All right. It's okay.
You know what? This was his best performance on a in-person podcast in a very long time.
We're real proud.
Yeah, we are. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, daters. I hope today's episode made you feel just a little bit less alone out there, no matter what your status might be. Give your finger a break from swiping and hit that follow and review button instead. And if you have any burning questions or want to share your own unfiltered dating stories, reach out to seeingotherpeoplepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, keep on seeing other people.
Mads, I am obsessed with our brand pillars.
You mean vagina sweat, good branding, and being Jewish-blooded queens, Scout?
Sure, but not quite. I love that OKSIS podcast and our sisterhood is made up of women who are down for main character energy only, who take care of their mental health, and who are standing in their personal power as entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah, that too, Scout, that too. We should probably introduce ourselves. Hello, everyone. I am Mads.
And I am Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
Join us on OKSIS podcast every Monday for some sisterly banter, nourishing mental health, a whole lot of silliness, and inspiring interviews from the raddest female guests in the game.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood!